This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy Friday. Maybe they ain't so happy after what we saw last night. It was embarrassing in the third quarter when you're giving up 52 points. I know, shorthanded. We knew it was going to hurt, especially in terms of guarding Anthony Edwards when you don't have Jalen Wells anymore, at least one of the bodies that you could have thrown at him. He was having his way, and he certainly that was the case for the Timberwolves, especially after the half last night. Grizzlies lose 141-125, and you're right back at it tonight. You get off a plane, I suppose early this morning, and you got to take on a Denver team that's also in the thick of it. As you look to stay out of the play-in, win last night would have really helped you there. But I guess, you know, there's a point there. It probably happened in that third when you're giving up 52. It just doesn't feel like Memphis can play the kind of defense right now that's going to require, it feels like, to stay out of the play-in. So, spin it, look ahead, break it down, discuss it. We're going to do it all and certainly talk about where we think this is going to finish up. We come in here Monday, we're going to know. John, are we in 7-8 play-in? That's what it's feeling like. That's what it's feeling like.
Yeah, that is how it feels after that third quarter. That was about as bad as it gets.
They hit everything.
In one 12-minute span of basketball. Although I will say I appreciated the promotion of 92.9 by Ant-Man. That was very nice of him to post up right there in front of the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies with the Grizzlies towel on. Ant's a different dude, you know. He just doesn't really care about what the world thinks, man. He'll put a Grizz towel on. And he should, because the way he did them folks, he basically owns the franchise now. So I believe, like, the sideline reporter told him that it's the highest point total that anybody's put on the Grizzlies from the Timberwolves franchise.
Yeah, I don't know about owning us when you get one out of the three this year and you lost your playoff series against them a few years ago, but I'm with you in terms of last night, he was standing on top yet.
No, he can't own yet, but he put a bid in. He did. Like a late...
That's
like
embarrassing.
A Leitner bid, Leitner and Brian Davis bid. We'll see where it goes. I mean, we'll see where it goes.
For a minute there, I thought, they going to blow this like they did in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, and they got it to 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Then they said no.
Yeah, they cut it to 10. Then I think McDaniels hit a three or something
like that. Yeah, no, they were thinking the same thing. Now,
of course.
They keep taking threes. They might play. Yeah. Are they going to do this again?
Yeah.
But it ended.
Yeah, they're kind of like a poor man's Celtics, you know?
Weird.
Like, all they do is shoot threes. They don't make as many, although Randle was just unstoppable last night.
5 of 10, I think, from three for him.
Yeah.
I mentioned he might have a good game.
Yeah.
Again. At this point, your front line's next to nothing, especially from a rebounding standpoint. You're putting everything on Edie, and we said he would probably find the going tougher against a more formidable front line.
Yeah, he had 31 last night, and that was his highest point total since is that a season high? I think it is. No, he had 35 on November 17th. So it's his, Julius Randle's second best game of the season. He couldn't miss either. He was hitting everything inside, outside. Yeah, it was ugly. It was ugly for the Grizzlies last night. They were leading at half, but honestly, you knew that was a mirage because they were shooting 68% from three, and that was not going to sustain, and it did not sustain. And the Timberwolves took control there in the third quarter. So we'll get into all that today here on the show. Another great game, however, for one Ja Morant. A lot of not grenades lobbed in the crowd. Again, want to be definitive about this. Those are not grenades. All right? Not grenades. I know that, like, maybe you think you see, like, the pin getting pulled and, you know, the lot. Not grenade. Just words that are getting thrown back into the crowd. So, again, I do want to emphasize
the story not ESPN grenades. Says today, Grizzlies Morant doing grenade celebration until it's a problem. That's why I'm so exasperated because he won't even say that
it's
a grenade.
Right. But again,
but it's ridiculous they're even looking at this.
Yeah.
And that ESPN's writing stories and that Unsportsmanlike is talking about this thing on a daily basis. And so what it is, a distraction from the mess that is this collapse by the Grizzlies since the trade deadline. That's what it is.
Yeah. So we'll get into all that today. But again, a lot of people have called into the show. They're like, is it a grenade? Is it not?
Words.
It's not a grenade.
He throws the words into the crowd.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to what comes back.
Correct. Are you going to be in the stands on Sunday doing it?
Who?
Putting your hands over your ears?
No, I will not.
Wow.
I'm not going to be there Sunday already.
Okay.
So it has nothing to do with the ears.
If you were there, would you do it?
What?
A lot of people were like, a lot of fans were already jumping in on it. You know, Brad's doing it. Brad loves it.
Yeah.
All right. We're not going
to. I hope y'all have fun with this all the way into the
play we have.
And then out of it. Yeah.
It's the only thing we have.
Yeah. My concerns are greater.
Somebody has taken a grenade and thrown it in the Grizzlies defense.
And you throw it in the Grizzlies defense in the front office?
Yeah.
So somebody wake up. All this talk about Ja and Jaren and Bane and this rotation that's now been shortened, all the talk should be about Zach Lyman.
Yeah.
I mean, that frankly, that's where we should be. Any other discussion is really secondary at this point. But it's fine. We can have some fun.
Yeah, so
with the grenades or words or whatever they are.
Again,
whatever they are today.
Not grenades, just words. So we'll get into that today on
so much
the
fun.
Show. Jason is going to fix the Grizz defense. We've given him that responsibility.
Is it unfixable at this point? Yeah. Can't fix it.
Unfixable. And Anthony Sain is going to join us at 11:25.
Yeah.
Parthu Pajai is going to update us on what's going on with Memphis and the portal.
Can you keep PJ?
Can you keep PJ?
We'll ask him every week until we know.
Jason demands to know. And so we'll get into all that with Parthu Pajai at 1:25. Also, we have a little bit of a standoff going on up at with our friends in Knoxville with their quarterback, Nico Iamaliava.
So I hear.
He wants more moolah.
But probably hasn't earned more, is how Tennessee is probably feeling.
That's right.
But
that's
they know, right. too, the reality of things.
Yes.
That he could probably get more somewhere else. And Nico seems to realize that as well.
So I don't know where it goes, but
it goes that he gets done.
Yeah,
they can't afford this late right to go. I don't know. I should back up. I don't know what they have behind him.
He did not show up to practice today.
Oh, he's for real.
He's holding out.
Yeah, because the portal opens here in a few days, and this is your time now, before settlement, to get locked in to the best deal that you can.
I mean, bro, college football holdouts is crazy. That's crazy. What a world. What a world we're living in.
I don't know that they can afford to lose him at this point.
I know. That's the leverage. I mean, what are you going to do? What, you going to come get Memphis's Brendan Lewis? I mean, they're going to get somebody. So, I mean, I don't know if it would be him, but I'm just saying, like, they'll get somebody.
It's crazy they kept Seth 4 years with the way things are now.
Yeah.
Tennessee can, you know, struggling to keep Nico, perhaps, or deciding if it's worth it. That's what they're doing.
This is a new era, though, for real. This is like
it's free agents.
This is the first time we've seen an actual holdout threat, in the NIL. You know, guys like they transfer somewhere to get money, but in terms of holding out, and not showing up to practice, feel like we have not seen a situation like this. So we'll get into all that a little bit later in the show. But yes, the Grizzlies were leading at half. Again, on the back of an unprecedented shooting half. What they were shooting better from three than they were for the field. I mean, it was insane. You knew it wasn't going to stay. Hold. Although they ended up still 50% from three. But outscored 52-25 in the third quarter. It was just a disaster. It was a disaster defensively for the Grizzlies in that third quarter. And I mean, honestly, it ruined what was a pretty good effort otherwise. I mean, they won the fourth quarter. They won the second quarter. They were down six after one, but it was obviously a competitive game. But it just got away from them, man, and it was all she wrote.
Yeah, I'd say good effort individually. I mean, he did have five turnovers, but good effort individually by Ja Morant.
Yeah.
I mean, Desmond Bane was good in the first half. He was not in the second half. Jaren Jackson, I don't care about the 23 points. All I'm looking at is one rebound in 37 minutes. How in the world, you in year seven, this guy gets one rebound? Knowing how shorthanded you are right now and how much you need it, especially against that front line. So I would just tell you, you know, that it's a joke. It's a joke. One rebound in 37 minutes is a joke. The fact that we're still dealing with these foul issues, when we talk about it all the time and then he says it all the time afterwards, I get it. I got to do better. It's year seven. Again, it goes back to it's a larger picture issue. Ja and the celebrations and all of it, larger picture issue. Your players are setting the culture. The culture is not good enough. Well, the culture has helped drop you back from two to you're going to be in the play-in status. That goes up top. It goes, you set that. You either allow the players to do it as OKC has done with SGA because they can handle it.
Yep.
You've got enough veteran voices to handle it. Or you leave it up to the coach. And you have put yourself in a position now where listen, Ja's going out. He's playing at a high level. There's no question about it. I guess what I'm most interested in is he buying into Isolo. You know, will the increased numbers, man, he's cool with going forward like this because I have my doubts. I'm not the only one. I've heard it from Harrington, too. Every time that we have seen, and I realize it was not completely Isolo's offense, right? Wasn't much of it at all, maybe, but every time we have seen Memphis up against the formidable competition, the good ones, for the most part, and especially since the trade deadline, crushed.
Yep.
This idea that this offense is going to work against the good, there's no evidence of that.
Right.
Defensively gone. Now, that had happened before Isolo. You can't pin it on him, but your identity, one thing that you'd formerly been able to hang your hat on, gone. All of it, again, speaks to a bad culture, a culture that you've allowed to really get out of your control. And so it's frustrating. You can go down the list of players individually who didn't do enough. Vince Williams right now, not ready to step up, even though he says he could have played back-to-backs a little while ago. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
He pushed back on that he's not, like, you know, at least 100% or close to it right now last night. Go down the list. That's frustrating to me when, frankly, again, this roster is the responsibility of one man.
Yeah.
So all of this, last night, embarrassment, giving up 52, that's your team out there on the floor. Your team that essentially the trade deadline, you said, as Harrington put it, our team's on the floor. It's 12-17 since the deadline.
Yep.
You're 12-17 since the deadline. You're 21st in net rating. You're 17th offensively and 19th defensively. You've elected to go at every turn when it's time to take the step up young. It's been the wrong decision. He acknowledged it a couple years ago or a year ago, whatever it was. You did it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't put lipstick on this. I guess the lipstick is the fun some are having with the celebrations, and that's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine because it's probably the best thing to do. You gotta find
something,
right? Find something.
Yeah.
But what need to be found really are answers to real questions. Now, okay, what are you going to do with this roster?
Mm-hmm.
How long is, all right? We're young. We'll get it figured out. How many more years of that do you get?
Right.
Because there's a good chance if you go into it next year with most of this roster, Isolo is your head coach, going to be in the same boat.
And by that time, are your players so bought out that they're asking for trades and those guys? Have you really lost it then?
That's, right.
I mean, that's where we're at, man.
Yeah.
I can see young come in here and paint this pretty picture or all this fun if you want to, but it's time to start getting serious here and asking the front office, what are you doing? And more importantly, asking, you know, ownership. Ownership stepped forward in the Denver situation. You heard from him. What are you holding? Are you holding this young GM accountable?
Yeah. No, it's all a fair question. I think it is a personnel issue. I mean, what else could it be? Now, with that being said, I do think they have a group of guys that do not take pride in playing defense for the most part. Like, I just...
They were good defensively at one point this year.
Yeah.
You're still 11th overall on the season because you were so... You were effective enough in the first 51, 35, and 16 that you were a top 10 outfit for most of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you were good defensively.
That was also against the worst part of your schedule, right?
Part of it.
You know, so.
But haven't you been that mostly with Jaren Jackson as your anchor for most of Taylor Jenkins' time?
Yes. I mean, Jaren is the only guy.
Right. That was
he's the only guy.
Doing it against bad wasn't something that was new for the Grizzlies this year. You'd been a good defensive team.
Yeah.
For the last few years.
But it just doesn't look to me like they take a lot of pride in it.
Well, again, watching. I think that speaks to a sort of the players have lost the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Vision's gone. Taylor Jenkins once said it. Now Isolo's trying to come with this one. You put two visions, two different philosophies in here to start the season when you hired Isolo and you've got Taylor Jenkins going against him because he sees him as a threat. Again, that goes back to a bad setup by the front office initially. So back to your point, you've lost some guys defensively.
Yep.
Because they've lost the vision.
Yep.
Your leadership of them has been poor. So, you've lost this roster in many ways, particularly on that defensive end. I don't think they believe in you in the same way that they did at one point.
No,
you put that on players, they're pros.
Yeah. But
once they're running things and you got moody players, everything else, you won't get consistent efforts, and that's why this defense is unrecognizable with many of the same players.
Yeah, I don't really have anything patented new to say about the Grizzlies.
Well,
I mean,
can tell me if they're going to go 1-1 and or 0-2.
They probably go 1-1.
What
I mean,
we're going to be in terms of next week, and
they're big underdogs tonight. They got into the Denver hotel at 4 a.m. Mountain Time, 5 a.m. Memphis Time. It's a brutal turnaround.
So Minnesota will get ahead of you, because it's got two tanking teams,
right?
And Brooklyn and Utah. You have Denver and Dallas.
Yep.
They go 2-0. You lose either one of yours. Boom, they've moved ahead of you. You lose. Tiebreaker doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Tiebreaker, which you still own right now.
Yeah.
And has, you don't own it. So you could be on that road.
Yeah.
First game.
And quite frankly, the Nuggets looked relieved the other night that Michael Malone was out. They've been off since Wednesday. It's seven. It's a big number.
Yeah, and again, I feel like that's grown.
Well, because it's pricing in the time of arrival for the Grizzlies. It's pricing in the back-to-back. It's pricing in the altitude. It's pricing in that the Grizzlies have not looked good against above 500 teams. They did beat the Pistons, finally. But other than that, we know what the story is.
Again, Jalen Derwin playing.
So
allowed Edie to go off.
Yeah.
It was a 500 team, though.
Yeah. So I think that's all kind of going into
it. Not some juggernaut.
And it's just... Obviously, we all can see it. We all feel it. The vibes on this team are just bad. They're just bad vibes all around, So I think it's a tough ask. I mean, I went back and looked at, a sort of similar meeting because I don't think Denver's going to have Jamal Murray, right? He's probably out for this one, and he's been out. But the Grizzlies lost in Denver 128-103 last year in March. Now, no Ja, obviously, but the Nuggets didn't have Jamal Murray in that one either. And it was 128-103 Denver. And you can imagine who went off in that one. It was Nikola Jokic. There's really just not a lot.
What is he going to do tonight against
him? Right. I mean, he had 29, 11, and 8 against the Grizzlies in their last meeting in Denver. Now, again, the Grizzlies were playing friggin' Dejan Giroux, 20 minutes a game. But Jaren was out there. Bane was out there. Scottie Pippen was out there. Santi was out there. So it's similar enough. Just no Ja. So, yeah.
You and I could sit there and take shots and have no one guarding us and not go 18 of 21 from the floor like Minnesota did
Yeah.
In the third quarter of that game last night. 7 of 8 from 3, hit everything.
Yeah.
Let's never really seen anything like it.
No, that was ridiculous, man. That was ridiculous. Well, I mean, part of it, a lot of it was Ant-Man, right? Like, he just got untracked totally, and that is going to happen. But, yeah, the defense just was completely uninspired. You know, they were going under on a lot of things. Like, I'm just, what are y'all doing? Like, y'all know this is one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league. So, I don't know.
Y'all hear how we sound. I think this might be useful as well in terms of the looking at the rest of this week and then next week.
Mm-hmm.
But here's Vince Williams from last night after the game.
Obviously, this wasn't a defensive effort you guys wanted to play with tonight. What do you guys have to correct in a relatively quick turnaround going up against Denver tomorrow?
Ball screen defense and then one-on-one. You know, really not letting people get to their spots and then just shoot over us.
Hey, Vince, it's your first start, you know, in a while. What positives can you take to roll it out for the rest of the season?
Just try to go in there and do my best, honestly. And, whatever the outcome is what it is right now at this point.
How do you, with the short turnaround, how do you flush this really quickly and get ready for tomorrow?
Watch around with the guys, figure out how we can stop guys, and honestly, just kind of trying to make them make tough shots.
You haven't, you know, played in any back-to-backs yet. You feel like you're to the point now where you'll be ready to go for this one?
Yeah, I felt like I could have played back-to-backs a while ago, but yeah, it was hard. Neither here nor there, but it's all good. I feel like I'm ready. Everybody's ready at this point.
Vince, do you feel like you guys can still salvage something on the defensive end with whatever time you have left the rest of the season?
Yeah, I feel like we can communicate better, and then honestly just limit teams to one shot, and then stop their two-man guys.
Thanks, Vince.
You know, and Vince in the most, I don't know.
Tough,
you
know, spot, man.
You know, it is, but, and I'm not just picking on him, I just feel like it's the vibe around this whole thing right now.
Yeah.
Is there, and Jeff kind of said it with me, he's like, well, Jeff pointed out, well, maybe at the trade deadline, Zach just kind of knew we're not good enough. You're like, maybe you're just resigned to the fact that we'll just kick it down the road till next year and see what happens then. And that's the tone I felt from Vince. Whatever the outcome is whatever it is at this point. It's kind of, I'll say Ja lately hasn't felt like that, but team-wise and especially defensively, and Ja's got to be included in the defense. I can't just single out what he's doing offensively, throwing the grenades or the words or whatever else, having a little fun. I can't just single that out and say, oh, no, Ja's fine.
Right.
I mean, defensively, he's contributing to this poor effort too. But my point is, checked out, man. Resigned to that this is over. Done. You know, that's what this is right now.
Right.
And so we don't need to give it any more. In terms of invest, I saw some signs. Edie's been playing well. Maybe that was just a tough night last night. They can fix this. That's embarrassing for us to do at this point with what they've given. You know how hard a time we give the showboats for the bad product they've put on the field the last 3 years and tried to sell it to us. That's what Zach Kleiman has given us with this roster at this point and this idea and frankly this team effort right now. That's looks like it's given up. Looks like it's resigned to. Oh, and it's just going to be what it is. Unacceptable, man. Unacceptable. And then to ask people to still come down, be invested in everything else, like maybe your fans got the issue. Come on, man. They can't keep serving you. You know, this spin. Everything's okay. We'll be fine. We're still young,
right?
And we keep eating it. And saying it tastes good.
Yeah, I mean,
Not when it's sour. It's nasty. It's got fungus on it.
Yeah.
Just didn't know. And then you hear the players like that sound like, you know, they're good. You know.
Yeah.
But, like you said, Vince ain't the put his foot down guy. Oh, we got to make a stand right here. He's never been that guy. But I think you could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It was emblematic, I thought, of the vibe was emblematic of what I feel from the whole team all the way up to the front office. I mean, Isolo's obviously fighting. He's trying because he's trying to, I mean, you know, you're trying to make a good impression on these guys. You're trying to win them over and get them for next year. But, ooh, what a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess.
That it is.
Gone from two to playing.
Yeah. It's a precipitous drop. The parallels with the Tigers a year ago are just crazy. Now they're going to make the playoffs. They're locked into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
They're locked into the postseason. unlike the Tigers, right? They fell all the way out. But this has been a precipitous drop for the Grizzlies. And it's just like one of those deals now where, I mean, if you're a fan, this is kind of the worst case scenario, because who wants to attend a if they make a playoff series, who wants to go into that death march? Who wants to go attend that?
Well, if it depends on, this is very simple, and Jeff's touched on this. You don't want to see any part of OKC as an eight.
Yeah.
Better off to tank.
Yeah, and not make the playoffs.
And not make it, because there's something that comes with that, and that's retaining the first-round pick.
Yep.
Using the first-round pick, perhaps with the one of the few assets it feels like you got left in G.G. Jackson, that using that, because what you don't need is another young player in here. You have done that now 2-3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But you having that pick to hopefully get something done with the roster, maybe you got to come off something you once valued and thought, you know, no, we're not going to trade GG, whoever, whatever that is, whatever it looks like. But now that can become an asset that John, you know, going and getting swept by OKC, you agree with this. There's no point in that. You lose, the pick is gone, and it's tougher to change the roster because you've lost an asset that you had to move off of, you know, you had to pay to move off of Marcus Smart. Try to keep that. Point being, if you get seven, you somehow beat what feels like it's going to be Minnesota, then I guess I'm cool with playing the Houston Rockets in what would be
a
fiery series. They haven't proven anything yet.
Right.
Probably going to lose, but you play that one out, right?
Yep.
But if you're getting the eight, nah.
Yeah, that would be.
Nah, I'd sit that out. I'd keep
brutal.
The pick, because that's the quickest way back to trying to fix this.
Well, and that's the key to all of it, right? Like,
you have to fix it.
When you get to the playoffs, like, the goal is, like, you know, who's the healthiest? I mean, and the Grizzlies, even if things were going well, they were, you know, they lost Jalen Wells, their best perimeter defender. They lost Brandon Clark, one of their best playoff bigs. Like, they didn't do the job. They didn't stay healthy, and they didn't play well. I mean, they played well enough to give them enough buffer to squeak in here, but – I mean, they haven't looked good for months. You know, they have not looked. I mean, literally, February 8th was my time of death. That was my date of death. When they had the Thunder coming in here, they were fully healthy. Thunder had, you know, a couple of guys out.
I was gonna say, when the three's been out there, against the big boys, you've come up short.
Totally. No, that was when it's like, it ain't like that anymore.
We always thought when they were out
there. Yeah.
You're a true contender.
Because that was elusive. It was like the whack-a-mole. You could never get them all on the court at the same time, you know. And now this year you've done that quite a bit. And it's not been what we hoped it would be. So, yeah, they got to make some changes in the offseason, because this whole, you know, run. I mean, Danny Green said it. Like, you can't just run it back with these guys and expect different results. Like, why on earth would you do that? So I don't know what the plan is, but they're going to have to get creative, because it's going to be a tough sell, man. It's going to be a tough sell. All right, we'll come back. Anthony Saint going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about this, the Timberwolves game last night, play-in, and more. Jason and John, I'm trying to find you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony Sane is the host. Anthony Sane is the host of the Anthony Sane Show, of course, on Bluff City Media. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Underground king of Memphis sports media, tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, an independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. Follow him on X at Sane Asylum. We are grateful for his time. He joins us now, and like he does every Friday, always helps us break it down what's the real with these Memphis Grizzlies, and we certainly need it. We need it, Brother Sane. How you feeling about tonight?
Man, my feeling is, I heard you guys doing your thing earlier on my way in. I leave the house pretty much the time you guys come on. I had to put my my mic condom on real fast. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, a little wet wipe.
Yeah, the spirit of Jeff Calkins is all in this joint. But anyway, yeah, man, my feeling has been the same as been for months now, man. Somebody added me on Twitter and said, man, I think the season is over. I said, brother, the season has been over for a while. Like this, that didn't happen last night, bro. I mean, our season is – depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about a team that's, you know, being a championship contender, those type of things ended, I think, a long time ago. For me, it was December 3rd, 2024, when we lost to Dallas. I kind of knew where the season was going. That was the game when we were up on Dallas most of the first half. Going into the fourth quarter, we had a lead, and then just a bunch of goofy stuff ensued. From the bench, right?
Marcus Smart.
Yeah. And then not just that, but just like sitting your dudes, like not playing John, not playing Jaren, not playing Diz. And then the excuses came out, you got to save guys. And that's part of Isolo's mentality, is to not play guys and all these, you know, all these things are getting thrown around like that, right? And, it was whatever, right? So we lost that game. And at that point, I was like, yeah, man, we're not, this ain't going to go the way I like it to go, right? And then we couldn't beat anybody that was good, the top teams in the NBA, we couldn't beat those teams. Then it started being shown, man, we can't beat anybody that's good. Like, if winning record, we can't beat you, you know what I mean? So we went through a long stretch like that. So the season's been over for me in a while. And y'all said something before the break, before you guys brought me on, where when Zach Kleiman announced at the trade deadline that he was getting younger and all those type of things, even he had punted on the season. He was like, okay, this season's not.
Jeff mentioned that. Yeah. I pushed back on. That being okay, if that's the case.
And my thing was, I was like, yeah, of course that's what he was doing. Like, I thought that in the moment he was telling everybody, okay, man, like, I don't, like, and I think there's a lot of things. Like, for one thing, as far as the injuries go, if last season hadn't have happened, we'd have been talking about this season injury-wise like we talked about last season, because the injuries this season have been horrible. Like, for instance, you coming into the season, you expected Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson to be a big part of this year. Has not happened. Did not happen. Has not happened. They didn't go to camp. I think they played they've been available for around 30 games apiece out of 82. In any other season, that's like, we'd be talking about how crazy it is that those guys haven't played that many games. you traded Marcus Smart, you traded Jack LaRavia. Those are four. So that's four wing players that were on your roster beginning of the season that aren't there anymore now. Like, I mean, Vince is there, but this is not the Vince that we thought we would get. GG's not playing. He's not ready this year. It's a wide season for him, wide season for Vince. And I just think that anyone who – like, I don't have any strong feelings about any of this. Like, I'm just trying to find
– the roster's – you don't feel like the roster is not –
No, I'm not there. I hear a lot of people say that. I hear a lot of people say, like, oh, our roster just sucks. Like, I'm like, no,
I think where we're apart is that you feel like Vince, and yeah, we did have higher hopes for them, mm-hmm. but they were never proven commodities.
Yeah, but I thought they would be the pieces we need them to be for this year, and they just haven't been able to be those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll change next year. I think they'll be good players next year. I think if they're healthy and they're locked in. Another thing, too, like, it's kind of – I've kind of watched a lot of this stuff. I've kind of distanced myself from a lot. I'm watching it. I'm tuning in. But I'm, like, not as engaged as people are because I stopped being engaged a long time ago. Like, this ain't just happened to me. There's this thing. It was like when we fired Taylor Jenkins and he hired Isolo as the interim, right? It's people who are thinking, like, okay, Isolo is as good as he makes the team from the point he took over until the end of the season. And I think that's silly to think that that's how they're going to evaluate anything. Like, I think that's – You had 6 years of Taylor Jenkins. Most of the guys who played on this team have only been coached by Taylor Jenkins. Your guys who are in your core guys you're talking about. That's like, you know, your big three, your top eight guys, whatever. They've only been coached by Taylor Jenkins. And they've only been coached by his philosophy. You're not just getting a new coach. I mean, these aren't like high school kids. These are pros. So it's like you just can't come in with a new coach and just uproot everything that they've learned for all these years, all the muscle memory, all the stupidness, all the silliness about our defensive strategy, the weird things they did with our offense to begin the season. You just can't uproot all that and say, hey, forget all that, start doing this. Like that. And he knew that you can't do that. You kind of have to deal with what you have until the offseason, reevaluate your guys, what they can do, come into camp with a strategy for the season, and then you go from there. I just think any expectation of him coming in and just drastically changing anything isn't going to happen. Plus, you're out a lot of guys. Losing Jalen Wells is a big deal. And like I said, we saw Zach Edey have a crazy week last week, right? Just going off in games. Even, you know, he's been had been really good ever since Isolo took over. But he's still a guy that hasn't had really time to develop to be ready for anything that's coming in the playoffs. So we've seen him make a big leap from once he started being given opportunity. But those opportunities probably should have started. There's no probably to it. Those opportunities should have started game one of this season. Instead of being used the way that he was. So, like I said, I'm not really tripping about too much of what I'm seeing because the season is always felt disjointed to me. I came on here begging in December and January just to have a normal season where we just do normal stuff. And we've got about seven games of that so far. Things look a lot more normal now than they did a few months ago or even a couple weeks ago. So that's kind of all I'm really – happy about. There's things I can find joy in. But this particular season is a wrap, and it's been a wrap. Like, they didn't just start when we got beat by Minnesota last night by 20-something. But it's been that way.
Yeah, it makes it, like, just the awkward finish.
Yeah, it's like there is no – there is no really great outcome to this season.
Right.
The most likely thing that's going to happen is we're going to the play-in. And if we play Minnesota first game of the play-in, we're going to lose that game to Minnesota. Like, I'm pretty much banking on losing that game. We have no – Jalen Wells is out for the season. He was – and that's another thing, too. Everybody talks about, oh, we're too young. That kid was holding our defense together on the perimeter. Like, that, you know, rookie was holding our defense together on the perimeter. I think we saw that last night. Vince Williams' body is not right. He's not in shape. This is just a wash of a season for him. And in the NBA, man, if you're not ready to compete, man, you're just not going to look good. And that's pretty much what we've seen with Vince. And Jaren is just really struggling a lot. He's got to get over this whole – and it's clear, man. Anybody – a lot of times we just remove human nature and just the human thought process from a lot of stuff we see. Jaren is clearly processing the fact that he probably was counting money this summer that he was going to get offered an extension for making the All-NBA team and getting the Supermax, and that money's gone. That's not happening. Like, that's not happening for Jaren. That's – I'm sure the Aperun Sengun is going to get whatever spot that Jaren was going to get as an All-NBA player. He's not going to make All-NBA. He's not going to make an All-Defensive team. He got an ankle injury, and I think he came back early from the injuries to try to hit that 65-game threshold. But he just hadn't been the same. And it's not – I don't think it's a coaching thing. Like I said a few weeks ago, Jaren's skill set should be able to translate to any offense. He's a 7-footer that can dribble and get to the basket, draw fouls, score close to the goal, shoot threes. It's mental. Jaren is mental. I get it, man. Like,
dude, you're 7 for that, man.
But I'm saying, bro, like, I'm not making excuses. I'm saying he's got to step the hell up. He's got to shut all that crap down. I'm not making excuses for him. Like, I'm not making excuses at all. It is what it is, though. Like, I get, like you thought you were about to be making this, and now you're about to be making probably half of that. That's something you have to process. And Jaren is not a mentally strong dude. Like, he never has been. So when he got his third foul in the first half, I said, it's going to be a long night. If he doesn't go into the fourth quarter with those same three fouls, we're going to lose this game. We're going to lose it bad. As soon as the third quarter starts, Jaren gets a foul, he's got four. Edie gets four, like, yeah, okay, I know where the rest of this game is going. Because if Jaren's not locked in, if he's not engaged on defense, our defense already sucks, so I already knew where last night was going. But I gave y'all a lot. But yeah.
In terms of the way Ja is playing under Isolo, have you made anything of that?
Love it.
Does that matter going forward?
Yeah, it does.
To you?
But I never bought into the whole Jaren's the best player on the team, Jaren's the franchise. I never been bought into that. And everybody knows that Jaren's my personal favorite player on this team. I said a long time ago and had a guy in my DM mad at me for saying it. Ja has to be the best player on this team. I don't really understand why that logic was ever tested. Ja has to be the best player on this team. And Ja's game is increased tremendously. He's back scoring around 30 points a game. Over the last, last half of my
life. It was 28.4 going into under Isolo, going into that, 36 last night?
Exactly. So he
just went up. Like,
he's going off, man.
30.
He's going off. At one point in the season, Ja was scoring 18 points a game, hanging out on the perimeter, not having the ball in his hands, not being engaged, wearing a shiesty mask, real dry in interviews. And another thing with Ja, too, man, Ja was missing one out of every five games. Like, he couldn't even put five games together with injuries or whatever. So those things matter too. But to see Ja on the court healthy, looking like the Ja, looking like peak Ja, and not just out there healthy and just, you know, dunking on people and all those type of things, but he's using the mid-range more. He's knocking down three-point shots. He's getting the floater going. He's not complaining about fouls. Like, we act like those that stuff happened this year, bro. Like, all the stuff with Ja, like, complaining about fouls and not getting back on defense and yelling at the refs and all that, that happened this year, man. That happened this season. And we've seen a totally different version of him now. So I think – that's definitely something good to look forward to when your best player is playing the way he is now.
Yeah, I think most people are just ready for this to be over.
Yeah, including me.
But it's like, okay, it's over. Now what?
I think that.
You know, I think that's the complication. Is like, what's the solution?
I think if you're going to hire Isolo, get that out of the way soon. Give him time to get his stuff together. These guys have to have a much more serious and refined offseason. We see the videos of Ja doing what he does. We see the videos of Jaren with Chris Johnson. It can't be, hey, here's a list of stuff you'd work on over the summer. We'll see you in September. Like, it has to be, the team has to try to find ways to get these guys more refined with a more defined vision of what they're going to do in the offseason. You know what I mean? Whether that's Ja and Edie working together, whether it's Jaren working with this particular vet or going to this particular camp. Because one thing that you notice about our guys, how many videos do you see of our guys playing pickup against other pros in the summer?
Like, none, ever.
None. Like, yeah. Like, you see Ja playing with just, like, dudes. Like, Jaren.
Like, high school kids.
Yeah, right, exactly.
that's how all this started.
But I'm just saying, though, like, when do you see, like, these big runs with, like, Ja playing with Devin Booker or SGA or whoever? You never see him, like, playing with guys on his peer level or Jaren playing with other guys. You know, you see, like, everybody else seems like they're doing that, but our guys seem like they're pretty. And I hate to be this type of guy because we don't know what these guys do outside of when the phone is on them, but when the camera is on them, like, if something's being recorded, it's being recorded for a reason. But I just kind of feel like if they were involved in those type of runs, you would see those type of runs happening on their social media as well. I think a lot of things just over time are going to progress. Like I've said before, Twitter, my show here, guys like Jalen Wells, guys like Zach Edey, guys like Gigi, guys like Vince Williams, I think the natural progression, they're all going to be better players next year, understanding what it looks like to play in real games for the first time this season, the expectation behind those type of things. I think those four players are going to be much better. I don't know what they do with Santi this all season, man.
If he's not willing to come around a deal, you got to let him walk.
When people were talking about how much money Santi was going to get, I never co-signed those conversations. I always thought, I was like, nah, man. Like, first of all, teams that have money, they're not going to spend their money on Santi Aldama. the Grizzlies are pretty much going to get him for what the market determines for him to be. And I'm at the point, man, would I be mad if the Grizzlies, instead of trying to sign Santi, they tried to sign and trade him? I wouldn't be mad at all, man. I think there's something you kind of have to explore with him because I don't know, man. Like, I don't really know what you do with him. Luke Kennard has been nothing over the last month or so. Those guys are guys who have contract situations coming up this summer. I would try to sign and trade both if I could because there's really no other way that you can move to get anything going because of the size of the contract. We have three really big deals on our team, and the rest is just nothing. The guys who aren't making anything in the league. And you're not going to combine those guys together to get somebody that's making $8 million or something. Like, you have to kind of be smart with that type of stuff. So, signing trades for Santi or Luke may be the only thing you can do.
Yeah, if they bring Santi Luke back. Luke is out of the rotation now,
yeah,
by the way.
And I wouldn't be mad if they brought Santi back because you do. I mean, he's not like he's a bad player. But they got to figure out something as far as how they go into that part as far as offseason goes. But everything else, I don't look down on this roster because of what's happened this season. I think there are things that it's not like we've had a healthy group of guys and they've been playing this whole time. We've had the same coach at the same time with the same coaching philosophy. I think there's a lot of factors that have happened this season that caused guys to look the way that they look even now. So I'm not going to say that the roster is bad. Because at no point in the season did I feel that way. Like, I didn't come into the season and say, oh, man, our roster sucks. And I had reason for why I said it then. And I'm not going to just say, okay, because we're losing, we suck. I don't equate that whole thing to that at all.
In terms of the rest of the league right now, I mean, we know the Grizzlies sort of place in. Are you with us that, I mean, seeing how good OKC is, that if you do lose the game, you said Memphis would lose. I agree, 7-8 to Minnesota, that you're better off just tanking to keep the pick and try to use it to.
Man, I'm going to tell you.
Make adjustments to roster, bolster it, whatever you want.
Even with the things I'm excited about, like Ja playing really good ball right now, Edie looking like a guy who we really should have, because that guy's rookie of the year season was stolen from him, in my opinion, with the way that he was handled by Taylor Jenkins. With that, you know what I mean? Desmond Bane.
Can we really – I get it with Taylor, but he's fighting the front office because they've hired his replacement.
So
that's why he's not playing.
I'm glad you said that too.
Screw you, front office, because you've set me up to fail.
Right.
And so I kind of get it. Him going against what should have been happening out there because it was a bad setup from the get go.
I'm gonna get your question again, but let me go off to what you're saying now because I heard you saying this on the way up here, and I totally agree with you. If somebody like me who defends Zach Kleiman, who I'm pro to things he does. I like Zach Kleiman. I don't like everything he does, but as a whole, I think Zach Kleiman is a good GM. But I think a fatal mistake that he made for this season and possibly going into next season as well, because you're going to have to do a lot of rebuilding over the offseason, is the fact that, dude, if you had an inkling in your mind that Taylor Jenkins wasn't the dude, regardless of the injuries, man, fire him. You hired his replacement. You hired his replacement last summer.
You set this up.
Just get him out of here. And you could have just had a clean slate, and you could have really saw what Isolo is, could have had a clean slate, we would have been rolling. But because of the petty stuff, and you guys doing the tug-of-war all season, this season has been a wash.
Exactly.
Bro. Now, what was the question
that's
you
that's
had?
Why, that to me is why it goes back up. It all is about front office because, it, like you said, if you've fallen so much in love with Isolo, he's turned down the Wizards job. You envision him eventually as your head coach.
He should have went into
you
the season.
You should do it right now. You're already cutting off Jenkins' assistants.
Yep.
He can't trust anybody. You were asking for it. You were asking for him to side with LaRoche and go against – what you were trying to do, go against your first-round draft pick. So that comes back to you and your foresight in terms of he should have been able to predict that happening, that Taylor would see Isolo as a threat and probably then go against plan. And that's what's happening.
And it's helped
ruin a season. Like you said, Edie had his rookie campaign stolen from him
because of petty stuff
that was set up by Kleiman.
Right. Now go back to your first question because I jumped off of that to answer the question you didn't ask.
I mean, I don't even remember what the question was, but it was more along those lines, just in terms of the way the setup is. I don't remember what the initial question was.
Well, we got somewhere. It was pretty good. So
yeah, it was. It's been brutal. Now, from a national standpoint, who's the title favorite in your mind?
It's still Boston to me. I think that's the team that's going to take it to another gear.
Although the Jaylen Brown stuff's weird, man. He looks like he's hurt.
Yeah,
oh, he's hurt though. He's not moving around well.
But the thing about them too, though, even in games, like they really can do their whole five out thing, like another level.
They
when
really
he's not
can.
Playing.
Yes,
like
they
can shoot you out of the gym when he's not playing. Like, and he's a pro. And,
yep.
and like seriously for Boston, man, if they make a decision to say we're not gonna play Jaylen at all in the playoffs unless we make the finals, do you doubt they could get that far? Like what? those teams in the East are crap, man. You know what I mean? Like I could see them getting all the way to the conference finals without Jaylen Brown, and then say, okay, now we'll play Jaylen against Cleveland. You know what I mean? I could see them easily getting all the way that far until they get to, you know, the 1-2. But I got them coming out the East. If not them, I think it's Cleveland. I don't think anybody else is close. The Knicks, maybe when they get Brunson back and going, they'll look better. But I just think they're not as good as Boston or Cleveland. Out West, I've got Oklahoma City probably as a favorite. The Lakers at 2 probably. I think I got Oklahoma City, Lakers, Clippers is who I have as the top 3 coming out of the West.
The question was, do you tank that last game?
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
You said,
yeah.
Hold on with your question.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you for a ride, and we'll get back.
We'll get back. Here we are, man. Look how God works, man. I don't think it'll be much of a choice, bro.
No.
I don't think that may be in our control. Because if we lose to Minnesota, right? If we play Minnesota 7-8.
You're going
to
host.
And we'll host.
Dallas or Sacramento.
Did that Dallas team playing against the Lakers look like they were look like crap to you? The one that played against Dallas the other night? Uh-huh. AD's back, bro. Like, they ain't got a lot of their dudes, but I would not be shocked if we play a game against Dallas. And would you be, like, totally shocked if we play Dallas in that last play-in game and lose?
I wouldn't.
No, but I want to ensure it. I want to sit everybody.
You said you would just say screw it.
Just sit down. I don't want to win and have to face OKC.
Very controversial.
It'd be controversial. But I think even if we went full blast, I could see us losing that
game. He would understand because you're trying to retain the
– Yeah.
I mean, they'll say it's bad basketball, but that's about the future, trying to retain the
people. But why is it the people want to pick when they just said that we're tripling down on youth and they're worried about a draft pick? That's always
nah, the pick is because I'm going to take it and put it with Gigi. I know you're not. And I'm going to try to go get a veteran. You said Gigi going to come in here and be an all-star. Him and Vince going to be great.
I ain't said all that. I ain't saying going to be no all-star. I'm not trading Gigi off of
He's shown he wasn't going to do it. That's part of why we are where we are.
Yeah,
I'm a little worried about Gigi and Vince.
You still have supreme confidence in those guys.
Gigi
that's what's been shaking for me.
Lost on the road.
Y'all come back and find
I definitely don't want to use the pick to get another young player, bro. I'm trying to get a vet.
I'm a neat counseling.
Nah,
I'm trying to get some of this youth up out of here.
And then if you add that pick to Gigi's deal is like $2 million a year. Like,
it's nothing, but he's also giving you nothing.
Man, y'all record this episode and play it back to me this time next year.
Yeah, when we run it back.
Y'all going to see. The man had a broken foot coming to the season, bro. Come on now.
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like we just bought the hype within a season that didn't matter. Somebody's got to score. I feel like we bought the hype with Gigi and Vince.
That don't mean he can't play, bro.
What about
I understand all that. Yeah, both of them.
I think both of them going to be good.
All right.
I think both of them going to be – they're going to serve the roles.
I do think Vince has been thrown into a very difficult spot, you know, this year.
Yeah, it's – But NBA is delicate, man. If stuff is crazy, man, anything can happen, bro. I've seen really good players have really bad seasons because stuff was just stupid on their team. Like, their organization was dumb. And like, stuff
well,
just
we made some
crazy.
Dumb moves. If you agree that the setup to start the year was dumb, you're going to have two coaches battling each other.
And
you could likely lose the players in it.
Yeah, and the players did get lost. The players are the victims 100%. Of all this the stupid stuff, for sure. I got to give you that for sure.
Here's Anthony Sane. Catch him. Anthony Sane Show. Joins us every Friday.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, my guy. We'll come back with the rundown. Jason and John, are you trying to FM ESPN?